Welcome to the Josh Freeman Show.
Freeman, the pass toward the end zone. Toward the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers!
Now here's Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Scott Ledger.
Thursday night, time to sit down with Josh Freeman. Time for the Josh Freeman Show, or Cinco, as we all call him in Cincinnati. I knew I'd get a giggle out of you there. How you doing, number five? Good to see you.
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Congratulations on a couple of things, man. We got a little shopping list of things to congratulate. First and foremost is the win. That's the biggie.
Thank you.
You've been asked about it. You're a 3-1 quarterback now. 5-2 over the last seven. All the different scenarios we put together since you started that throwback game last year. What's it like to be, you know, this young quarterback sitting at 3-1?
Honestly, it feels good. It feels good to go out and win. Last year it took us really 15 weeks.
Long time.
Yeah, 15 games to get to three wins. And, we're changing a lot of things. We're trying to change the culture. I feel like we've done a great job of that. I mean, we've added some new teammates, some younger guys. But at the same time, you still have the solid leaders like Rondé, like Jeff Fain, guys that have been there and done it, so they can sort of lead the way for the younger players. And, I mean, I think it's really all about, adopting Raheem's culture and everybody buying in and going out and laying it all on the line on Sundays. And we've been able to do that. It hasn't always been pretty. But at the same time, we're 3-1 and continuing to improve week by week.
You know what I've noticed about teams that are successful? They're never teams that lose two straight. They're never teams that, you never get a long streak of bad things happening. And I think you can go back into a microcosm and the team will reflect that in each game. In other words, you might have a bad series, but you won't have four bad series in a row. You might have a turnover, but you won't have three and a half of a game. And I think for a young football team, Michael Spurlock fumbles, and then he's grabbing a game-winning catch. Redeeming yourself as an athlete comes Mike Williams, fumbles at the three, then he catches your touchdown pass. You see that on this, and you don't. This, the point I'm making, bro, is you don't see that on young football teams. You don't. You see that either when things get bad, they kind of snowball. But I'm not seeing that with the Bucs.
No, and also I think that's a big tribute to, just Raheem and type of team we have. We understand that. The game is ours for the taking, and we understand that we're going to make mistakes. I'm going to throw an interception, but the games are long. You're going to get another opportunity to come back and, like you said, redeem yourself. And, it was so awesome to me to see. Mike wasn't really having that good of a game. I don't know if he had a catch leading up to that final drive, or he might have had a couple, but he hadn't really done a whole lot. Had the fumble, obviously. Then he comes back, and that last drive, makes two big plays. One was a touchdown, obviously, but the play before that really put us in commanding position.
Sat down with Aqib Talib last night. I called it the 90-second football game inside a 60-minute football game. And you were so pumped on the sideline. I was watching you walk up and down. And the minute you got the ball back from Aqib's pick, back shoulder throw to Mike, and then the next plays, I think Mike said that he was surprised you gave him the go. It was almost like a deep coverage, and you basically said, I know you're running into coverage here, but I'm going to throw it up to you anyway, didn't you?
Yeah, I told him, I'm going to do my best to hold off the safety with a look off.
And he was late getting there. The safety was a little late getting there.
Yeah, and I mean that's a big part of us having Kellen. I looked over to Kellen's side, and he was getting held pretty bad, but still it kept the safety's eyes over there as well. I knew I was going to go to Mike as soon as safety didn't get any width off the line, and had the true one-on-one matchup and took advantage of it.
He goes up, he brings it down, he fights for the football. It's I don't want to say ironic. We're starting to see the proof of the pudding. We've talked about this on your show. We've talked about Mike Williams going up and saying, that's my football, you ain't getting it. I'm coming down with it. But he always has this really neat expression on his face. This time around he caught it, and he's always looking up at the ref, making sure, you got that right. You know this is a touchdown, and then he celebrates. But and first of all, let's get the numbers out there. And second of all, congratulations. You are the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. I know you don't play for awards, but how did you find out about that award? And how did you, is it an actual plaque you get, or is it something,
I have no idea what I get, but basically Alex Van Pelt called me on Tuesday evening, and I was just hanging out with my brother on a day off, and he was like, hey, he's like, congrats, man, you're the NFC Offensive Player of the Week this week. And said enjoy it, but don't enjoy it too much. we got the Saints coming into town this week. So
first Buccaneer to do that, by the way, since 2004 when Mr. Pipes himself, Michael Pittman, actually did that for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, again, congratulations. 813-990-4620. That's our bros in Hillsboro. If you live in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. So Mike gets his tied up. They're you know, Carson Palmer's trying now. He's trying to get his team in the field goal range. Makes it actually a nice throw, TO over the middle.
Yeah.
Get some, you know, some good chunk of yards there. They've got a chance to get close enough to kick a field goal. And Savvy Piscatelli comes up with, I'm not sure if that was a catchable ball. I'm not sure if Bigger's got his hand in there. It's kind of like one of those things. But Piscatelli gets a pick. Next thing you know, he's doing a little Barry Sanders there. He runs inside a little loaf of bread, carrying it, and I'm making me nervous while he's running with the ball, because I think it was Ochocinco was running right up behind him. I was like,
What's it? Jermaine Gresham was chasing him pretty tight. So.
He's a good rookie tight end, that kid.
Yeah, he's having a good year.
He's a stud. Very. So, let me see. I think 14 seconds on the clock. At the top of my head. Yeah, and you run back out there, and I'm thinking, okay, they're going to line this up. You know, you're going to, you know, give me center hash for the kick or something. They're going to run a little fullback dive, and we'll get to that, which is a whole another story, which is going really well for this team. But take us, you know, you're running back on the sideline. Take us through the last 14 seconds.
You know, initially, Savvy returned it, I think, to the 34, 35, which is
right about
right on the threshold of really where you want to expect Connor Barth to make a field goal from, because it's a pretty long kick. When you look at it, 53 yards, 50-some-odd yards, I'm not 100% sure, but it's a long kick. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just initially thought we were going to go center it up, try to spike it really quick, but 14 seconds, I mean, you never know. A lot of the time the defenders will jump on the guy and try to hold him down.
Sure,
prolong the play. Mm-hmm. So we decided to pass.
And who's we?
Well, I can't say myself. I mean, mm-hmm. I was all for running the ball, but I mean, Coach Olson had a great scheme, great idea. He initially thought they were going to be in man-to-man coverage, and we get a quick, easy 5-6 yards to Sammy Stroud.
That's what I was thinking.
On the
more,
out,
more probably, you know, 5-7 yards. Get you
yeah,
know, not,
just make
not
it
21.
Make it an easier kick. And they just so happened to be playing cover two. Pac-Man Jones jumped Sammy Stroud. The safety got a lot of depth. Not a whole lot of width, and Michael Spurlock settled in the hole. And when I let that ball go, I remember saying, "Hey, if he misses it, it's out of bounds. We'll kick the field goal, and we'll move on with our lives." But it was really a tremendous individual effort by Michael Spurlock making that catch, getting both toes down, and obviously they reviewed it. It was close, but I mean, he's been making big plays for us at the end of games for a long time.
Michael said you practiced that a lot. That play in practice, he said, it's almost we run it so often that it's boring. I compared your throw. I mean, obviously Roethlisberger's throw was in the end zone, and it was during a Super Bowl, but it was that same throw where receiver's pretty much going to have to lay out to get this, but he's the only person that's going to come near this ball. It won't be picked. It won't be tipped. If it's tipped, it's going out of bounds. It's a safe throw, but 21-yard dart is what it was. And I was running around the studio. Everybody was going crazy. So, you know, take us through Barth running out there, because you were running up and down the sidelines. It was just great to see that intensity in you. You know, take us through the kick and then the rest of the game.
It was very nerve-wracking, actually.
Because they iced him. They called the timeout.
And obviously, I mean, I have a lot of confidence in Connor, and I think we all do. Actually, I know we all do. We know at the end of the game he's going to get it done. And, but yeah, man, it was definitely nerve. I mean, I was pacing. I'm a pacer. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those guys who can't watch. I mean, I feel like I got to watch, but I was pacing back and forth up and down the sideline, and, they iced him obviously, which I guess, intensified the already intense situation. And so we were just kind of all sitting there waiting, snap the hold, the kick. It looks good. You don't really know yet.
And then?
Right through.
There's 1 second left on the clock.
Yeah.
And they're running the Stanford play, and they got past midfield with that.
Yeah.
Made me a little nervous. EG comes up with the fumble, but again, game wasn't over till it's over, I guess.
Yeah, that's the truth. And with the type of athletes they had on the field, man, it could have got a little crazy, but hats off to our coverage team. Did a great job. I guess bottled up any crazy play that Cincinnati had in mind, and we were able to get away with the win. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Feeling.
Yes. Two road wins, you know, 3 out of 4 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. Of course, we'll talk a lot about Saints and stuff a little later in the program. And we'll also give out these numbers again. Hillsborough, it's 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And 1-800-596-BUCKS. We've got open lines, all three, by the way. One open line on all three of those. And before we go to break, I got to ask you, you know, the throw you made to Winslow, the one that got picked, was very similar to the scramble play you made a couple weeks ago where, you know, he was coming back across the field, the side that you had scrambled to. This time a corner decides to leave. I think it was Spurlock, kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Regis. It really is Ben. Yeah.
And a good play by the corner. Very good play.
Yeah. And initially I got flushed to that side, and I wanted to throw the ball to Aurelius, and the corner jumped Aurelius. So I think he, right when I get my eyes to Kellen and cut it loose, I mean, he on film, he turns around and dead sprint right after my eyes go off Aurelius. If I had looked at Kellen and looked right back at Aurelius, I'd have dumped it to him. 15-yard gain easy because of the way that corner was sprinting out of there. But, I mean, he did a great job. He turned around, made the play. I mean, it's going to be a big play either way.
Well, you've been making a lot of – that's, you know, the point I'm getting to here is you've been making a lot of plays out of the pocket. I mean, you know, you've proven that, you know, A, it's tough to sack you. B, you have to – you ain't bring me down with an arm tackle. And the reason I'm getting to this is early in the game, you look like you're in the grass, but not really. I mean, you're basically almost shedding a guy. You run away. They blow the whistle early.
Yeah.
You kind of look at the back judge and go, you know, I don't know what you're thinking here, but I wasn't down. I wasn't even close to down.
Yeah.
Then – in the next series, you scramble and roll right. You're holding the ball, and some guy comes in. And I don't want to call it a cheap shot because it looked like it was a forearm.
Nah, watch it on film, man.
Did it hit you in the shoulder pad?
No. It was helmet to the chin.
Yeah.
I was back to the back of the turf, head to the turf, a little shooken up. Got the wind knocked out of me a little bit. And JJ stepped in and did a great job, though.
Yeah, well, I knew you were ready to go back out there. I saw you getting ready to go back out there, and J.J. Josh Johnson comes in and ran a couple of passes. I think he threw a shallow pass that was kind of covered well, and, you know, it was like, you know, nothing major. But is there like a double standard on you now because you're a big quarterback? And they think, oh, well, A, he, you know, in other words, oh, he can take it. That's the point I'm getting to, isn't it? It's almost like if that happens to Brett Favre, that guy's getting the FedEx package. I, you know, fans can say that, and that's, I know you can't because you don't want to get a FedEx package. But honestly, that's, you know, that's the standard because you're 6'5 and you weigh 250. It's like, well, I understand I'm a big guy, but at the same time, you got to treat me just as evenly as everybody else. Quarterbacks come in a premium in this league. We want to keep you protected. I get it. It's their job to protect you, but you got to let boys play.
Yeah.
You got to let boys play.
I think the reason why that call is frustrated was because the play before with, or the situation you talked about before, when it was Ray Maluga came up through the hole and kind of bobbled the snap, scooped it up, and he was right in my face, and I lowered the shoulder on him.
Yeah.
And he kind of bounced off me, so I just took off running. I felt like I had the edge, was going to get the first down. And there you go. They blow the whistle saying, oh, we're trying to protect you, man. We're trying to protect you. And then next play.
Series later.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's part of the game, you know. It's part of the game, and, you know, you can't say that – he should have called it one way or another. He just calls it how he sees it. And, I mean, I think that's what makes the game great.
That's Josh Freeman. Our guest tonight, of course, is every Thursday night, the Josh Freeman Show. We'll give you the lineup on Buccaneers Total Access. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we'll rotate you new and different players every week. Sometimes they're connected to the game previous or the upcoming game. Example, Cody Grimm will be our guest tomorrow night. And then on Tuesday, we do the Gerald McCoy Show. Every Thursday night, we sit down with Josh. He is the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. And we'll come back and talk a little bit more about his playmaking ability with his feet, because he's definitely moving the sticks that way as well. We already have Paul and Jonathan locked and loaded on the lines. We got a couple others coming in behind them, but we still have a couple open lines. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Coming back, going to your calls as soon as we get back on the Josh Freeman Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host Scott Ledger.
Josh Freeman Show continues. It is Thursday night. I'm actually holding a beautiful Buccaneers t-shirt in my hand that will be distributed to any and all who come watch us beat the Saints at Raymond James Stadium. You'll also get an awareness rubber band bracelet courtesy of Publix. This is all from Publix, by the way. coinciding with Breast Cancer Awareness, when you see pink all over the field, that is about breast cancer awareness. What pink were you wearing? I think, did you have wristbands on?
I had pink shoes.
Pink shoes?
Yeah, pink shoes.
Pink cleats. I like the pink cleats.
Yeah, man, they're good. Nike did a good job with them.
Yeah, Spurlock was a little, made me nervous on the instant replay, because, you know, normally you could see that cleat almost too well. And it was I was wondering if that toe actually dragged the ground or not. But I was like, oh, well, too late now. All right, guys, you ready to talk take some phone calls?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it, man. We've got, almost loaded phones now. With Chris, Mike, Anthony, Jonathan, all stand by. Paul, you're up first on the Josh Freeman Show. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, doing great, man. How are you?
Hey, Josh. Good. Josh, I just want to kind of start off. And I'm very like a lot of people that live in the Tampa area, originally from somewhere else. Been here actually about 24 years, originally from Buffalo, and was a rabid fan there, got down here, and it's a unique situation to be in if you're truly into sports, how much you embrace your sports teams or not in the new town. And I immediately was a Bucks fan through thick and thin. And during the good years, it was easy to be a fan every year, but during the lean years and coming off hard years, sometimes it was difficult to really get excited again. I mean, I'm still a fan, but yet it's just hard when there's not a lot of reason for optimism. But this year, going to the off season, the thing I truly hung my hat on was you. Hey, you showed signs last year of looking like a franchise quarterback. And anybody who knows football knows, you get a franchise quarterback, you're going to be a competitive team for the next 8, 10, 12 years, or however long that guy's career happens to be at a high level. And Josh, I really want to commend you. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. You seem like you're very grounded. You're very level-headed. I just want to know how personally it feels to, you got to be feeling at this point that you can play at this level and be good at it. I mean, how does it feel to know that you're getting it?
You know, it's a good question. As you know, basically, you've got almost a full season under your belt now. Won't be till the 7th or 8th game this part of this year that you've actually played your 16th game, quote-unquote, your first full season. But I'm sure it was, second or third game where you started to realize you had the arm to beat a safety and so on and so forth. But it's got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely feels good. But, at the same time, there's an added element. You know, I'm the second-year quarterback. I'm the offensive team captain, and I wouldn't call it pressure, but I mean, I want to go
expectations.
Out. Yeah, but it's personal more than anything. I want to go out and I want to perform well. I want to out prepare anybody throughout the week, and then when we get on the field, I want to go out and give my team the best chance to win. And it really all started in the off season, getting a lot of work with Alex Van Pelt, a lot of work with Coach Olson, and starting to, I guess, piece together the offense, whether it's protections, whether it's route combinations and studying defenses.
Sure.
I mean, just the more comfortable you feel, the more you can just relax and play.
When quarterbacks say the game has slowed down for them, that's what they're talking about. They've done the mental preparation, and now it's just letting the physical attributes of what you are as a player take over, and that's the maturation process. You hear that a lot, too. Jonathan, you are up next on the Josh Freeman Show. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hey, thank you. And Josh, I will tell you, I think Tampa Bay is so proud of what you're doing, and I have two questions for you. One is, when you first were chosen by Raheem and it kind of was publicized in Tampa, you know, I wasn't ready to drink the Kool-Aid. Everyone had looked at your numbers at Kansas. Is it Kansas State or Kansas?
Kansas State.
And there is a difference.
Yes, there is. And they weren't stellar, and so everyone, at least I was, that I was talking to, was kind of wondering, and obviously Raheem was right, and Mark Dominic was right, and you are the guy. Tell us how that transpired from being looked at, or how'd you feel coming out of college in that regard? And then the second question is, you know, the slowdown of the play. Are you starting to see the field? Is it slowing down for you? And if so, why and how?
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, thanks. I'll hit the first part of that question with regards to what I felt like getting drafted. And
that must seem like years ago by now.
Yeah, it seems like a long time ago, you know. Mm. And when I got drafted, I mean, obviously there are going to be skeptics, people that aren't really sure, people that doubt the decision made. But, I mean, it's not my job to worry about them. You know, I know what type of football player I am. Obviously, Raheem knows what type of player I am, what type of competitor I am, and it's my job to go out and make Raheem right and have a long, successful career in this league. That's the main goal, and I mean, basically, I just came in with the mentality, I really don't care what people are saying. I'm going to work as hard as I can and go out and play my best football.
That's the way to do it. By the way, let's add to that, you came out as a junior. So, you know, even then, you don't have that whole another year of playing football under your belt, and you're stepping up to the next level. So, you know, taking on the NFL without having a senior year is just another, I guess you could say, stepping stone that you kind of blew right through. Because sometimes, you know, guys that come out a little early, and sometimes the actual progression and their maturation is even slowed a little bit more. But it didn't look like that for you. Anthony, we're coming to you. Let me go. Chris, we're coming to you. Let's go, Mike. You're up next. Mike, you're on with Josh Freeman.
Hey, guys. Josh, I got to tell you, you're doing a great job overall. You've heard a lot of comments, but the one thing I really noticed about your game is the confidence you have, but you know what? You still smile. You show that you love the game you're doing, and I think it makes the team look stronger. I think, God, Kellen Winslow, you guys are doing a great job, and each week I think it's opened up more and more. The only question I had for you is I haven't seen a lot of screen passes. Just my recommendation, if you can get those in the offense, I know it's on your list. You probably know when to do it, but I think you got a lot of support, and you're bringing me back. I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I'm sorry, guys. I was a season ticket holder for 15 years, but, 3-1 at this point, nice job, you know.
Nice said, Mike. Very well said. Yep. Let's talk about a couple things he brought up real quick. First, the smile. One of the bigger smiles on this team. A lot of guys have great smiles on this team, and I always ask each player who has the best smile, and they always say me. Because Gerald said the same thing.
Yeah, and Gerald.
But no, yeah, the bottom line is you're out there having fun. You're out there having fun.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I love playing football. I love the guys that I'm playing football with. And, I mean, it's just there's no better feeling than going out every Sunday and just getting a lot of good hard work in. And it's on the field. And honestly, coming away with wins, man, I can't tell you. I mean, they're each one of them is special. Each one is emotional. And it's just awesome to go out with the guys that you work in the summer, you work in the off season with, and beat teams that people say you shouldn't beat.
You know, I'm not sure if we'll ever be able to get Kate. Does K2 listen to your show?
No.
He doesn't?
K2 does his own thing.
Yeah, well, we know that. Yeah. We know that, but, it would be great to have you guys sit down and talk about the combination that is, because we've been talking about Mike Williams, but this guy's highlight reel is going to be insane.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, it's like every catch he makes is like Spider-Man climbing a wall.
That's the truth. It's awesome to have him on the team. But, yeah, man. I mean, K2 is he's been a huge asset for us. And, he's another guy that has a chip on his shoulder. Obviously, he had his accident or whatever a few years back. And, he's had another opportunity. And he's come out and done nothing but work really hard and done nothing but make plays on Sundays. And, I mean, he's another guy that is extremely passionate about the sport of football and about his teammates and just about going out and getting wins for the Buccaneers.
If you were watching him and you watched several of Kellen's catches the other day, a couple of times he blew through people to get first downs after the catch. In other words, heavy contact, bowling people over, and he came up. I'm not sure what he was yelling, but it was intense.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was very intense. Before we go to Chris and Israel, standby guys, we're coming to you. I got to ask you about your feet, man. You're making plays with your feet, and people keep talking about how big you are, and I think it's lost in the sauce. You sprinted right, I think, and the second half of this game and basically made a first down on that play. And your feet come into play almost every game now. I think you've at least moved the sticks at least once by running the ball. Is that something – because, everybody wants to see the pocket passer stay in the pocket, move the ball, be –
Hey, me too. Me too.
But you're making plays with your feet too, and progression, boom, I'm running, or yeah. Every once in a while I'm just going to run.
And it's definitely progression, run, or it's progression, pocket breaks down, somebody's coming free, run. But it's just a matter of making your runs count. You know, if you're going to drop back and then not look downfield and just take off, I mean that's pointless. You're not gonna make a living or a career in this league doing that. So, I mean, I drop back and I want to throw the ball. I'm going to sit in the pocket and throw it. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes it's maybe an all-out blitz where they're overloading one side and you just got to beat the D end around the edge like I did.
You saw
late
that a
in the
lot.
Game.
You saw that a lot. You know, young quarterbacks are going to get blitzed. A weapon against the blitz, the caller brought it up, is the screen pass. We've seen a couple of center screens to Caddy that he wants to have back, I know. But talk about the screen pass.
Yeah, I mean, we've run a number of screen passes, and I mean, trying to think, we had one that didn't get completed on Sunday, and we had one, my long run, the Cleveland game, that was a design screen pass. It's just that they snuffed it out, everybody ran to Ernest Graham, and I took off around the edge and was able to get some yardage out of it.
It's a great way to slow down a pass rush.
Yeah, no doubt. We've definitely called a number of screens. We called little outside screens, the Sammy to Mike. But, yeah, it's just really I just don't think people recognize we're running a screen because, I mean, sometimes they'll blitz. Sometimes it'll be a play-action screen, and they'll tackle the running back, so you just got to throw it away. So it's I definitely see screens being or playing a bigger role in our offensive production from here on out.
All right, Israel, stand by. You're on deck. We're going to Chris next. You're up with Josh Freeman. Welcome to the Josh Freeman Show, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, Ledge? Hey, Josh, congratulations, man, on the win. And I called you a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you remember. I told you I've been a long-time Bucs fan. I'm 44 years old, and seen a lot of quarterbacks come through here, man. But like I said, you're one of the few that I have no worries about when you're in there. Because of your confidence and your calmness, Josh, it rubs off on me as a fan, and I'm sure it rubs off on other people. Whereas we've had guys come through here, whether it's a rookie or a veteran, you know, jumping around, eyes all moving, sweating, nervous, and that makes us feel nervous too. So I commend you on your calm and coolness. And in that game, when it came down to that 2-minute warning, or getting down to the last 2-3 minutes, I was calm because I thought two things are going to happen here: either Josh is going to make the play, or he's going to put us in a position to make the play. And you know, even if it got stopped, I know you're going to at least give us a chance. But, Josh, if you could speak a little bit on why or how, and not just you, but there's a lot of quarterbacks who have that calm and coolness that have come along over the years, not just with the Bucs, but throughout the league. But how come some quarterbacks are all jumpy and nervous and sweating, and how are you able to be calm, stay calm, and keep that going through the last 3 minutes or throughout the game? If you could speak on that, I'll hang up and listen. How do you keep your calm and coolness and your head straight?
Thank you, Chris. Poise is what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of things that I can attribute that to. I'll start with basically my relationship with my father and just growing up, playing in sports, doing a number of different things where, I mean, obviously you're in pressure situations, but he would always basically taught me to step up to the challenge, meet the challenge. It's part of being a man. It's part of, I mean, doing your job. And the second part of that is preparation. You know, I prepare. I feel like I prepare just as well, if not better, than most everybody in the league. I have a lot of confidence. I got a lot of confidence in myself. I got a lot of confidence in the guys that I'm playing with. I know that when I walk in the huddle, the last or second to last drive where we got the touchdown, and I look in everybody's eyes and say, hey, it's time to do this. It's now or never. And everybody in the huddle just is like, yeah, let's get this done. I mean, I knew we were going to score. I just did. I knew in my heart that we were going to drive down there and score. And I looked at Mike Williams and I said, hey, I'm like, I'm going to throw this ball to you, man. Make a play for me. Mike looked me in the eyes and said, I got you. And the rest was just holding the safety off and giving him a ball he could make a play on, and he did that. And, it doesn't always work out like that, but, you know, I like to believe that when you have a lot of faith in each other and a lot of faith in what you're doing, that more times than not, it will.
You can be emotional without getting too high or too low.
Yeah.
You know, it's that level-headed athlete that even though you're intense about what you're doing, you're not so crazy in between the ears with intensity that you lose sight of what's going on. And, you know, you mentioned a couple of things, but I also say, you know, Jeff Garcia's got 290-pound guy running at him. he's going to be a little bit more hectic in the pocket. You weigh 250.
Yeah.
You don't have the deer in the headlights look.
Yeah, definitely. It's
well, don't be. You have been seeing a lot of blitzes, though. You definitely have, and you know, I'm sure. And I think that's the first free hitter I've seen in four games. That got, I think it was early in the game. It was the very first series.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing about that was, it wasn't an issue of not being in the right protection call. It was an issue of them bringing an all-out blitz. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was just waiting for Kellen to turn around and split second, half second, or not even a half second, less than that if I'd had to throw it, because we still almost completed it even after getting hit. But if I'd have been able to get it out to him, he would have had a one-on-one at the safety and been able to potentially score in that situation.
And, you know, let's give a little kudos to the O-line and, of course, your backs. You know, I saw Kareem Huggins block a guy that weighed 50 pounds more than he did. And it wasn't, you know, pretty,
yeah.
But he got the job done. And when, you know, you have young backs in there like that, or whether it's like Garrett Blunt stuff, and they, you know, I'm sure you're going to see some blitzes from the Saints, too. We'll talk a little bit about that again. But, you know, you've got guys protecting. You can make the throw, and Mike can make the catch, but you still got to have people keeping you upright.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, first off, the O-line, they played a great game. They really did. And
Jeremy Zuda,
yeah,
to mention him.
Yeah, Jeremy Zuda, he stepped in and did a tremendous job, because center's not really his natural position. But he was in there communicating, making the calls right along with me, and did a great job for us. And you bump it back to the running backs, Ernest Graham, Cadillac, Kareem Huggins. I mean, those guys, what they do is, it's exceptional. I mean, they have about three or four different responsibilities that they could potentially be blocking. So they got to go look for one guy. He doesn't come. Next guy, he doesn't come. Next guy, he doesn't come. And if the last guy's coming, last guy's right up on him right when he realizes
it. Yeah,
that's
usually across you. He's got to run, up a guy late, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, what they do is it's really, I guess, they should get more credit. That's what I'm trying to say. They should get a lot more credit.
They're keeping you upright. Let's get some, we have an open line in Pinellas. That's 727-461-4620. We just had one drop in Hillsboro, so there's an open line there, 813-990-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Israel is the other. Last night when we were actually sitting down with Aqib Talib, we heard from the second Buck fan out in San Diego, but here's the first one. He's been calling the show on a regular basis, and he flies that Buccaneer flag pretty darn proud. Israel, how you doing? You enjoying the season so far?
Pretty good. I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. Josh, good afternoon. Real quick, I wanted to compliment you because I've been, you know, taking a really close look at yourself, Matthew Stafford, and Mark Sanchez. And to be perfectly honest with you, I really think that you're the most talented from all three of them. One of the main reasons why I say that primarily is because you're in a situation where your entire teammates, that whole team is young. We're one of the youngest teams in the NFL. I understand with Matthew Stafford, he's kind of like in a unique situation as well. But the fact that you have literally taken that team on your back and been able to, you know, have been able to win from come from behind like you did last week is a testament to where we're heading to and where we're currently at. So all the naysayers who really had doubts on you, and I never really heard anything about you when we first drafted you, but I was kind of excited, but I wanted to give you some great compliments on that. And the second thing I wanted to let you know, and I'll go ahead and listen off the radio, is do you ever play Madden, and do you ever play yourself? So
better.
Thanks a lot, and definitely
pretty
go Bucks, and let's get it done. Bye.
You got it, Israel. Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Israel. About playing Madden, I really – honestly, I'll play a little bit in, like, during the summer, but recently I haven't had really any time to or any desire to. Surprisingly, I think it's because I'm growing up, you know. But no, but it's I mean, Madden's cool, you know. I really actually have not checked out Madden 2011. I played 2010 a little bit, but I don't really play with myself. I like to play with the Vikings and run it with Adrian Peterson, but. Yeah, man, I think Madden's a pretty sweet game, but I just really haven't had the opportunity to play all that much this year.
Guy you're playing this Sunday was on the cover of Madden, and of course every year they talk about the Madden curse. But a lot of that has to do with your being Super Bowl champion and everyone's gunning for you. We'll get to that when we come back. We'll talk a little bit about the numbers that he's put up in the first four games at quarterback, sitting at about an 85% quarterback rating. Very impressive number that's been real good. It's been going up pretty much steadily as the yards per attempt. When you start getting into yards per attempt that are 8, 9, 10 yards, in the passing game, you can take on a lot of football teams. A very telling stat in the NFL is actually yards per pass play. And a lot of teams that are successful usually lead the game in that stat. Some other stats can be misleading. You can give up a lot of running yards like the defense is doing. But when we come back, we're going to take a peek at some of those stats for your quarterback. Of course, it's Josh Freeman, and he is the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. That's the first time it's been done since Michael Pittman did it for a Buccaneer, that is, of course, back in 2004. Got a couple open lines, 813-990-4620 and 727-461-4620. Coming back for the second half of the Josh Freeman Show on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
We're back with the Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5.
All right, we'll be coming back and talking with Mike, Bernie, Tom, and Anthony. You're coming up first. Just want to give some people a little heads up on some of the numbers from Josh so far. You are 69 of 116 for a completion percentage of just under 60%, 59.5. You got 824 yards. Your yards per attempt is 7.1, 5 TDs to 3 picks. And your quarterback rating sitting right at there at about 85%. I asked you just before we came back on the air about a completion percentage. Now, a little bit more what we call that West Coast, that dink and dunk, thrown under the coverage kind of a thing is what a lot of people are used to seeing. And I think a lot of coaches like their quarterbacks to be up around 70%, 69%, 70%. No,
I'll tell you, 70% is quite an accomplishment. Yeah. Like Drew Brees said last year, that was setting an NFL record. But, you know, you want to be really above 60. I mean, if you shoot for 70, I mean, that's awesome, which is, I mean, to be honest, other than throwaways, I go out trying to complete them all. So sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, I really just want to make the ones that count.
Got it. All right, let's go back to the phones. Anthony, you are up next with Josh Freeman. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, you're doing great, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Hey, I called yesterday and I talked to Akeem Talib, man. So it's kind of amazing to get to talk to you today, man. I just want you to know, man, that, you know, I live in Oklahoma, and I first knew who you was when Kansas State played Oklahoma. And, you know, me, I'm not really that big of an Oklahoma fan, and I just remember watching you, man, and it was like, man, who is this guy that is about to beat the OU Sooners? And you did it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you are truly a general on the field. I mean, you're more like a warrior to me. But the question that I have to you is, like, it seems like since you've been there, you've kind of been kept on a leash, kind of, sort of. But it's like somewhere deep down inside, it's like you got that fire that you can just unleash at any point. I mean, is there another level that you can take your game? I mean, you're doing great now, but, like, come around the playoff time, is there, like, a part of you that's just going to get, you know, unleashed and just make people suffer and just pay for, you know, for all the mishaps.
I like this. Unleash and people suffering in the playoffs. I like you mentioned. Thank you for the phone call, Anthony. I like he's mentioning playoffs. Go ahead.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, I wouldn't say being held on a leash because, offensively there's so much that goes into each game, so much game planning, so much scheming, and really – I mean, we want to try to get a running game going, and we want to run the ball so it sets up the pass later on in the game. And, throwing the ball, whatever, 30 times a game, I mean, I'm completely content with that. I mean, a lot of those situations are third downs. A lot of them we've been able to convert on. And, I'm a quarterback, dude. I want to go out and throw it all around the field. I'm still improving. I'm still learning, still continuing to get better. And do I think that there'll be a point later on down the road, if not this season, that I'll have the opportunity to go out and do that? Yeah, sure. But it's all about the game plan and all about what you're trying to do as an offense. And, you know, I just want to do whatever it takes to win. If that's running the ball 50 times a game or throwing it, I'm ready and willing to do whatever it takes.
Perfect example is the Saints. They've dinged up at running back, and Drew Brees is probably throwing the ball more than he wants to. And, you don't want to – Drew Brees doesn't say, I don't want to throw the ball. That means they want balance in their offense. That's all you're talking about. Balanced offense is the best offense.
No doubt. When you can have establish good balance within your offense, then you have the opportunity to keep the defense always guessing because – you can run it on them, and when you're running it on them, you get the right guys out blocking, you can hit them for a big one. And if you're play action passing, you can hit them for a long one. And, yeah, you strive for balance as an offense.
Also gets you a much more reasonable down and distance.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know,
no
and then you can really open up the playbook. Third and two. I bet you there's a lot of fun on third and two or second and four.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
All right, Mike and Bernie, stand by. We're coming to you guys. Tom, you're up next with Josh Freeman. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call. Josh, you hear a lot on any given station about how young this Buccaneers team is. I mean, but the maturity level that you guys play up to, and it seems like you guys are getting a lot more film time and study time in, like you're ready to be vets, like you've grown past certain situations. Can you give us fans a good comment on that? And I appreciate it, and I'll shut up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks a lot. No, yeah, we definitely are a young team. And, I mean, that's one thing where, I mean, you can't get around it. You're going to have your growing pains. You're going to make your rookie mistakes, obviously. But, I mean, at the same time, I think it's our team's resilience. I mean, we're able to go into a situation, not get a great result off the bat in the game, mm-hmm. and then come back and pick up the next drive and start making some plays. And I really think that that stems back to, I mean, obviously we have a lot of great guys on the team, but I mean, our coaches' mentality, you know, you have Raheem Morris, the head coach, and we all kind of echo him. And I mean, his beliefs on, doesn't matter how young we are, man, we can still go out and make plays. And I mean, we are very confident. We're a confident young bunch. But, and then, yeah, you talk about preparation. I mean, we have some great coaches on the offensive side of the ball that, I mean, they spend a lot of time, tying off all the nuances of the offense, of the game plan for that week. And we've been able to come out and, I mean, be fairly productive, you know. I mean, it's never as good as you want it to be. But at the same time, we found a way to win 3 out of 4 games this season, and I feel like we got a great plan going into this week versus the Saints.
Absolutely. And that bandwagon, there's still some time to get on that bandwagon. The people are out there, and you've been waiting to shop for your Buccaneer tickets. You can head to Buccaneers.com, of course, and there is a seat with your name on it because we want you in that stadium as we take on the Saints this Sunday. And you talked about redeemable things. We mentioned that early in the game. You know, Michael Spurlock coughs up a kickoff, and he makes a game-setting up catch. Williams fumbles down at the 3, and you know, you go to him in crunch time, all these little phrases we hear all the time in the NFL, and they deliver. And I think what callers are starting to say, I'm starting to sense a trend here, is they're starting to say we're seeing young players perform, you know, beyond their age and all these other things. But there's also a flip side of that, because when you're young, there's a brashness with saying, don't tell me what I can do, I'll show you what I can do. And I think sometimes that's when you see a chip on the shoulder for a young team. Now, Kellen Winslow, that's a different example. He's got a pass. Jack Fain has a couple of teams he's played for that his chip on the shoulder is different. Mike Williams has a chip on his shoulder going back to college and the teams that didn't draft him. So everybody's got their own motivational thing going on. But as a young unit, you guys seem to really have each other's back. You really do. No one gets down on anybody on this team.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. We all realize what we're working for, and we're all working together. It takes every piece of the puzzle to make the big picture, and the big picture is going out and winning football games. And it's been kind of funny because when you talk about the rookie mistakes, and you're going to see all this stuff that a young team can't do this, young team can't do that. They're going to make these mistakes, and yeah, sure, we've made mistakes. We've had our troubles. We've had stretches in games where we really couldn't get anything going offensively. But I mean, that's why you have a team. Our defense had our back, kept the game reasonable, and then we had the opportunity to come back and make a play offensively to win it, and I mean, we've been able to do that.
That's Josh Freeman. We got room for you in Hillsboro, 813, open line, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, open line, 727-461-4620. Mike, you're on deck. We're coming to you next. Bernie and Brandon, you're up. How you doing, Bernie?
How you doing? I just want to say congratulations on your success so far, and I just want to make, if you allow me, give you a few words of advice. I play on the team too for 20 years. I am a retired U.S. Army Ranger, and as you guys doing right now, I'm not surprised to see young people becoming leaders in the team, because since the beginning of the end of last season to the beginning now, you have been showing leadership all the way through. Your mentality, the way you prepare, the way you think and take over upon your task, it show only leadership. And that rub against the other guys in the team. As long as you keep doing that job, you guys will be successful all the time. All you need to do is believe in each other, be accountable for yourself first, and accountable to everyone, and you guys will be successful. I'm really, really proud of what you guys are doing. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
That's a good call, Bernie. There's a guy who's paying attention to what's going on at One Buck Place and, you know, the new look Bucks, I guess you can call them. Mike, you're up next. Mike, appreciate you standing by, and it's your turn, bro. Go ahead.
Yes, I just can't believe how you quarterbacks do it. I'd like to know if as briefly as you. I know it's a very complicated situation, but when you first get the snap, I mean, are you looking at the linemen to see if they're making their assignments, or are you looking at the receivers, what the routes are going to run? And you got to do all this in like 2 seconds or something. And how long is the ball in the air? Because, I mean, the field changes like 1,500%, you know, from the time you throw the ball until the time the receiver catches it. I mean, how do you figure all that out? I mean, gosh, my hat's off to you. I can't believe you're that good, and all you guys that do the quarterback role, the good ones, I mean, it's amazing the job you guys do, in my opinion.
You got it, Mike. Good call. Good
Thank
call.
You. I mean, it is, it's definitely,
We do in segments. You know, you got pre-snap read.
Yeah.
You've got the snap, the read right at the snap. I mean, it is, it's like pictures flashing in front of you, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it definitely, it takes some work. It takes some work. That's why, I mean, I've been really spending hours upon hours trying to get better at the stuff that I have to do. But I'll say initially pre-snap, you scan the front and you scan the shell. So you look at the D lineman and then you look at the corners and the safeties and check out their alignment. Then you get up under center. And when you get up under center, they got to start showing maybe a little bit what they're doing. And depending on the protection, I mean, different protections, the line's assigned to block different people. And sometimes with different calls, if they're blitzing a different way, you have to make a call to move the line to the blitz guys. And usually you get it picked up, you make the right calls. And then when you drop back, I mean, in a pass play, I know where a receiver's going to be, so I drop straight back looking at the defense. Looking at the secondary, trying to figure out what coverage they're going to be in. And at the snap, they have to get there. So you snap the ball, you're looking, you see the safeties get wide and deep, and you're like, okay, they're playing cover two. A lot of the times you have a built-in cover two beater, so you might have a like seams play, which is a single high beater, or a man-to-man beater on the right side. Then you have, say, an in-route on the left side, a deep in-route on the left side, which is a good cover two beater. So what you have to do is you have to drop back, know what coverage it is. Once you decipher that, you get your eyes to the two-beater side, and you have to figure out who can stop this play from happening. It's usually the underneath coverages, the linebackers who are dropping underneath it. So maybe you'll want to look left and pump Cadillac in the flat route to try to get the same linebacker to widen, to
open his hips and commit.
Yeah. And get out of the way, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to make him think that you're throwing it to Cadillac, so he'll start running towards Cadillac, and the space between him and the next offender is even wider, so he'll have a bigger lane to throw the in route.
Dan Marino, you've heard of him. He used to always say, when I come in line of scrimmage, I just want to know where those safeties are at. And you would say it always starts from the quarterback position. It always starts with those two guys, and
then
moves towards the line of scrimmage from that point. If, like you said, if they're deep, then you look for the underneath stuff. If you see them creeping towards the line of scrimmage, that's when the go routes. And that's why when Mike Williams in the postgame show, T.J. Reese asked him about the touchdown pass, and you know Mike recognized it as well as you did, that you would have a deep safety over there, and you said you were going to look him off long enough to get Mike there, but he was surprised you gave him that route. But that's what fans love, because I actually asked Drew Brees this in a conference call yesterday. You'll hear this on the pregame show, by the way. And I asked him, you know, all the X's and O's, Sean Payton's a great guy. I go, sometimes it's just pitch and catch, man. It's you and Colston, or it's Dante Culpepper and Randy Moss. It's the relationship between the quarterback and the wide receiver, and that comes down to one word, and that is trust. because you want to trust. He's going to trust that you're going to make that throw where it's good for him, and he's going to go up if he does make the catch. And he did this earlier in the game, by the way. I can't remember the corner. You'll remember the corner that was covering him. You threw him in one in the end zone, and he had to go up and basically play defender because it was undercut by the corner or whoever's, and he played DB. In other words, your trust with them was
– Oh, yeah.
He broke up the pass. It's just trust.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. I mean, giving the receivers an opportunity. You know, and I feel like with every one of our guys, if I give them an opportunity – I mean, they're going to make sure they catch it or nobody catches it, and that's the mentality. I mean, I trust that by giving them an opportunity, I mean, I'm anticipating them making a play on the ball and scoring a touchdown or making a big play for us, but I know that if the defender gets in good position, that they're going to break it up.
Got it. That's Josh Freeman. It's the Josh Freeman Show. By the way, tomorrow night, Cody Grimm had a fantastic day, pick six. They were even talking about where that football is going to end up, somewhere in a mantle and the pink gloves he was wearing and everything else. it was great to see him. And I don't want to say redeem himself because everybody thinks he had a bad game at Pittsburgh. He didn't. Had one bad play at the Pittsburgh game, and ever since then he has stepped in. So we'll be talking to him for a full hour tomorrow night on Buccaneers Total Access. Gene, stand by. I think we might be able to squeeze you in on the other side of the break. We'll come back, talk a little bit about this New Orleans Saints defense. Some of the names are young. They're kind of retooling as well, but Josh has got his guns loaded, and we're ready to go 4-1 against the Saints. The Josh Freeman Show will continue right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
This football team is 3-1. The team coming in is 3-2. They're both a notch behind the Atlanta Falcons at 4-1. Things are getting interesting in the NFC South. You guys already have one win against the Panthers. You got a chance to get to 4-1. You got a chance to really knock the Saints when they're down a little bit. They're struggling a little bit on offense. I know that's nothing you really have to address. But when we look at names like Alex Brown and Will Smith, and even Jimmy Wilkerson, who used to play for the Buccaneers, is also a reserve defensive end for this team. They're young, and they're not really, you know, it's almost like the defense of the Saints gets overshadowed because everyone thinks Drew Brees and pass catchers, but not to you. You're the quarterback. You've been looking at these guys. Talk about what you're up against this Sunday.
No, they're solid. You know, they're a solid defense. I mean, I'll start with look at Vilma. You know, he's been dating back to the last year from when I really got to know him is from film study and play against him. And he's a really good linebacker, and he's, I guess, the nucleus of that defense. And another guy that really catches your eye is Malcolm Jenkins, their first-round draft pick last year. He's really starting to play well. You know, he's one of those guys that you really have to know where he is on the field. And but at the same time, you know, I feel like we have some good weapons as well. And obviously, not having a Sharper back there is a big thing for us. But I mean, I'd say the word you have to use with this and talking about the Saints defense from our standpoint is respect. I mean, we know that this defense is capable of going out and playing great football. We feel like we have a good plan, but at the same time, I mean, we have to respect them and respect everything that they're doing and ultimately go out and try to play a good game, good enough to win.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, you want to tweak the running game. The offensive line has been asked about that the last couple of weeks. We have had Caddy get, you know, some breaks of 10, 15, 20 yards. 4 or 5 of those were called back because of penalties, but you know, other than Ernest's big run, we haven't really, you know, made a statement at running the football yet. And this is another opportunity to do this, especially in front of a home crowd.
Yeah, for sure. And you look back to last year when we were able to beat the Saints in New Orleans. The way we did that was running the football. We get the ball, we win the toss, get the ball in overtime, and you know what we did every play that drive? We ran the football.
How about that?
And, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you it really depends on who you're playing. And you know, the type of front seven they have, obviously their schemes. But, you know, a lot of people want to say Cadillac's getting old. They want to say this, want to say that. You know, I've seen Cadillac in practice and in games do some pretty remarkable stuff. And I know that he's one of a big leader, big part of our offense. And, I mean, I'm really excited to see him have a great game this week and have a great season from here on out.
I know Ernest Graham is loving the fullback dive. We saw first down converted. We saw the big 61-yarder. You guys are backed up on the one-yard line. I'm not sure. I think he ran off tackle on the touchdown where he kind of hurdled a guy. Yeah. But Ernest is really starting to make his mark at fullback running the ball.
Yeah, Ernest. Tampa fans, you guys know who Ernest Graham is.
Absolutely.
Man. Ernest Graham, he's a complete stud. I mean, the way the guy goes out, works, and gets after it. He's one of the most selfless players. I mean, he's all about the team. He'll do whatever you ask him to do. And, it was great to see him go out and have such a huge day in Cincinnati.
And he had a huge fumble recovery on the Stanford play at the end there.
Yeah, no doubt. And there's another thing Ernest is doing for the team. I mean,
special teams, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, between Ernest and Cadillac, man, those are two of the most stand-up guys. Those guys are awesome. They're awesome football players. I'm proud to be their teammate.
Well, we only got a couple of seconds left. You ready to get it done at Raymond James Stadium on Sunday? A little message for the fans out there?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we're going to go out and play our best football. You know, there are no guarantees except for the guarantee that we're going to lay it all on the line. And, everybody asks me, man, you excited about this week? You think you're going to win? And my response is, I'm planning on it, you know. You don't spend all this time working and you don't go out on the field on Sunday expecting to lose. You know, that's the plan is to go out and play a good game. And when we get the opportunity, find a way to win it.
Good show, number 5.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, go study some film of that defense. Throw me a couple touchdowns this weekend, all right?
Hey, no doubt. Thanks, Liz.
Good stuff. You got it, guys. Appreciate everybody who called in. Don't forget Cody Grimm tomorrow night, man. That's going to be fun to sit down with Grimm. We'll ask him about growing up in the Grimm household, and I'm sure football was everywhere, and the kid's got great instincts, and he's making some great plays at safety. So we'll talk to him tomorrow night. Thanks to P-Tuck back at the board, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow night on Buccaneers Total Access. Everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you soon right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Josh Freeman Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.